lot of people have a problem in understanding about God's love towards them. And not only that, they have a problem to find their sufficiency in the love of God. And one great aspect of the love of God that we need to understand when we meditate on the love of God is this. You know what is that? It is on the unconditionality of God's love. Unconditional love of God. Let me define what I mean when I say unconditional love of God. Let me tell you that. If you and I don't understand the unconditionality of God's love, you and I do not never ever find our sufficiency in God's love. It's very important that we understand the unconditionality of the love of God. And this is what I describe what it is. Listen carefully. God does not love you because you are good, because you are lovable, because you are valuable. He loves you because He is love and unconditionally chose to love you. Nothing of us, now listen to this carefully, nothing on our behalf would ever contribute to God's love towards you. This is so important for us to understand in finding our sufficiency in the love of God. And in order for me to convince you that God's love is unconditional, it is not based on our performance, on our ability, on our obedience, on our good so-called life that we live. No, it is not based on that. And let me give you some evidence to convince you. Ephesians chapter 1, the final part, and also verse 5. This is what it says. Please do pay careful attention to this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, the last part, and also the fifth verse. This is what is written to the church of God. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. Do you understand what it says? It says that God, in His love, has predestined us. And if you go a little, if you go to the previous verse, it says that He loved us, He chose us before the foundation of the world. Now listen to this carefully, people. Even before you and I came into existence, the Bible says that He loved us. How could God love us even before we came into existence? Because He thought in His mind that He knows that He's going to create Stephen David. And Christ is going to die for the sins of Stephen David. And I chose Him to become my child through Jesus Christ. Before I ever came into existence, after centuries and centuries of the creation of the world, the Bible tells that in love He predestined me. What did I do for God to make me love me? Even before I came into existence, nothing. He loved me unconditionally. And even in Romans chapter 5 verse 7 to 8, this is what it is written. To convince us that God loves us unconditionally. God doesn't love us based on our performance. He loves us unconditionally. Romans chapter 5 verse 7 to 8. Let me read this for you. And please pay careful attention to what the Word of God declares. It is good that we keep our open Bibles so that we can look at it, pay attention to it, and let our minds be captivated by what the Spirit of the Lord speaks to us through this Word. In verse 7 and 8, this is what it says. For while we were weak, see these people, that was before we came into existence, and this is when we were in existence. And how were we? For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But did God find any righteous person? No. Did God find any good person? No. Because Romans 3 clearly says, there is not a single righteous person on the planet Earth, not a single good person. But then again it says in verse 8, shall we all read this together, brothers and sisters? What grand and unconditional manifestation of God's love do we find in this one verse? But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Shall we read this once again? But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How did God love us here? Is it because we were good? Because we were righteous? Because we were putting on some good performance? No. While we were still sinners. While we were still weak. While we were still ungodly. While we were in a state of receiving love from God. We were unlovable. We were not valuable. We were wretched sinners. It is at that time that God loved us and laid His life for us. How great is the love of God? How unconditional, how marvelous, how amazing is God's love towards us? I would like to just turn your attention to what Jerry Bridges says. Jerry Bridges is one of my favorite authors, and this is what he says. And please pay careful attention to what Jerry Bridges says. God's unfailing love for us is an objective fact, affirmed over and over in the scriptures. It is true whether we believe it or not. Do you hear this? God's love for us is true whether you believe it or not. Our doubts do not destroy God's love. I love that. Our doubts do not destroy God's love, nor does our faith create it. You may doubt thousands of times of the love of God towards you, but the love of God still says that God loves you. Your doubts do not destroy it, nor does our faith create it. It originates in the very nature of God, who is love, and it flows to us through our union with His beloved Son. Beautiful. People, let me convince you this morning. Do not ever doubt the love of God because you're not performing well. Now, here is a big question that I struggle with, and I hope that you all will struggle with when it comes to understanding the love of God. You know what is that? What about God's love towards us when we sin against Him? Yeah, I believe that God loves me. But what about the sins that I'm committing? What about the weaknesses with which I'm struggling? What about that? Does God still love me? Of course, He loved me unconditionally. And I believe in it. And now, I am a child of God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does God still love me, even though when I become a Christian, I still fall in sin? Let me tell you that. God still loves you and me, even when we sin against Him, even after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said this. Now listen carefully. I love this. Legalism says God will love us if we change. Legalism says God will love us if we change. The gospel says God will change us because He loves us. Shall we all read this together? Legalism says God will love us if we change. The gospel says God will change us because He loves us. You know, there is one scripture that I was thinking about that deeply speaks to us that God loves you even when you sin, but doesn't just leave you there. He makes sure that because He loves you, He will change you. Now, that is my assurance, people. I'm not just telling that you can just keep on sinning. It doesn't matter because God loves you. That's not my point. My point is that no matter how much you sin, because God loves you, He will not leave you. He makes sure that He disciplines you and changes you for good. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 5 to 11. This is a bit long, but see these people, how much God loves us. And because He loves us, He doesn't leave us perish in sin. He makes sure that He disciplines us for good. And that's my hope, people. Yeah, I may sin. I know God will not leave me. He's going to change me, discipline me because of His love for me. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 5. Please pay attention. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For when the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Of course, there are some fathers. I'm sorry for them. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But, he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. What does the scripture convince us, people? It convinces us that God loves unconditionally. Even when we sin, he loves us and makes sure to discipline us so that you and I would participate in the holiness of God, in the righteousness of God. He is not going to leave you, my dear brothers. He is not going to leave me. And I have seen that clearly in my life, the hand of God. There were times I was backslidden. There were times I questioned about God's love. There were times I turned my back against God. There were times that I forsook him. But he chased me. He chased me. He chased me. He did not leave me. He did not forsake me. And he made sure that because of his love for me, I was back at his feet. That's the greatness of the love of God that we find. God does not cease to be our father and these children when we sin against him. I have two beautiful, wonderful kids whom I dearly love, Joy and Joe. They are the heartbeat of mine. I cherish them. I love them. But you know one thing? When they sin against me, when they grieve me, when they rebel against me, I don't cease to become their father and then don't cease to become my sons. I am still their father. They are still my sons. But what do? I discipline them so that they would behave obediently, responsibly, because I love them. Never think that you lose to become the children of God and God ceases to become your father because of our sins. No. No sin shall ever separate us from the love of God. Rather, God shows up in our sin as a loving father and disciplines us to share in his holiness. Praise be to the love of God. Years ago, I read a book. I don't know, maybe 15 years ago. I read a book, What's So Amazing About Grace, by Philip Yancey. And at the back of the cover of the book, there was this title, and it is still stuck in my mind, what he says over there. But let me read this to be verbatim. And this is what he said at the back of the book. That is one of my favorite quotes. Now, are you ready to listen to this? Can anyone remember that? Okay, no problem. Now, listen carefully what he says. There is nothing you can do to make God love you more. There is nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there is nothing you could do to make God love you any less. You can do nothing to make God love you more. And you can do nothing to make God love you less. Because God loves you and me infinitely. Unconditionally. Such is the great love of God. Listen to this, my dear brothers and sisters. This is one problem when we become Christians, when we hear about obedience, when we hear about submitting to the authority of the Word of God, when we hear about walking with God, obeying Him, pleasing Him. But listen carefully, in all our endeavor to live a life of obedience to the commandments of God, this is necessary for us to get to the point. You know what is that? You and I can never, never, never earn the love of God. No matter how much you obey, how much you walk with God, how much you submit yourself to the authority of the Word of God, let me tell you that you and I can never, 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 never increase an inch of God's love towards you, because He has decided to love you infinitely, and you cannot make Him to love you more, and you cannot make Him to love you less. His love is unconditional. God's love for you is not based on your goodness. It is based solely on His own goodness, mercy, and grace. So we all say this together. God's love for us is not based on our own goodness. It is based solely on His own goodness, mercy, and love. May I ask you all to stand together? May I ask you all to stand together? We are not closing with prayer. So don't feel happy about it. Stephen's love for you is long. That's why he preaches long. Romans 8, shall we turn our Bibles? I want us to read these words. People, just think about the magnanimity, power of the scripture. This was already read in our worship this morning. But I think it is good for us to read once again. Romans chapter 8, 37 to 39. Just let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts and let every word sink, absorb in our hearts to really understand, to find our sufficiency in the love of God. You don't have to do anything, people. As brother said that, you don't have to do anything. You need to trust and find our sufficiency in Him. Romans 8, 37 to 39, let's read together. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you listen to this?